Good morning. Let's pray again. Father God, your word is such a treasure. Thank you for all we are learning from the book of Matthew. May we grow in our knowledge of you through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Next month, we will gather together for Easter to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He has ascended to the heavenly throne room where he is ruling with God. Someday, Jesus will come back. Last week, Katie guided us through the first part of Jesus' teaching at the Mount of Olives and emphasized the endurance that Christians will need until he comes back. In this week's passage, Christ continues that teaching and gives us more insights into how we should be living until that day. He uses a few illustrations, including a homeowner, two servants, and a group of bridesmaids. The first of these is straightforward, a homeowner who stays alert. Matthew 24, verses 42 through 44. Keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. The homeowner would stay awake if he knew that a thief was going to break in, but he can't predict when that will happen. And that uncertainty is the point. Jesus will not arrive on our schedule. Like the homeowner, we must keep watch. But for the believer, his arrival is not a reason for worry. A thief is an intruder. Jesus is our Savior. Philippians chapter 3 sets the right perspective. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians wait eagerly because we belong to Christ, citizens of his kingdom, who anticipate the blessing that lies ahead for us. We hear this anticipation in Psalm 130. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. Put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. God's people look forward to the return of the one who died to redeem us from our sins. We stay alert out of love for the Savior who has loved us so well. After the discussion about the homeowner, Jesus shifts to a story about two servants, Matthew 25, verses 45 through 51. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time. And he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This pictures Jesus as the master of a household. In the master's absence, a faithful servant would responsibly take care of his fellow servants. But if a wicked servant were in charge, he would abuse the others and pursue his own pleasure rather than meeting his responsibilities. When the master came home, he would promote the faithful servant but banish the wicked one. These verses and the ones that follow may lead us to question whether we will be acceptable to our master when he returns. Are we doing enough for him? What we do matters, but we should consider how it matters before our God. The Apostle Paul explains in Philippians 2, as you have always obeyed, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. We are to obey the Lord with fear and trembling, with the reverent awe of creatures before their Maker. He is the Holy God, and we are sinners. And we must never forget that distance, that difference. And yet, notice that we are not working for our salvation, but out of it. Ephesians 2 draws this distinction. It is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It is by grace you have been saved. God extends his grace before we ever do a single work. Working out our salvation is not working to earn it. It is living out of what Jesus has already accomplished for us, walking in the good works he has prepared, and offering our obedience as an act of love. As 1 John chapter 5 says, this is love for God, to keep his commands. We work out our salvation confident that God is working in us until Christ returns. According to Philippians 1, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And Titus 2 describes this work of God. For the grace of God has appeared. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Jesus died to make us his own people, and he trains his own to live righteously and purifies us so that we are eager to do good works. While we watch for his appearing, we honor him in whatever he's given us to do, no matter how small or routine it may seem to us. Our faithfulness is evident when we take care of our families or love our neighbors or serve faithfully in the background at church. In Hebrews 10, we see how our church community reflects this faithfulness. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good works, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The anticipation of Jesus' return motivates us toward love and service. It plants us in the life of the church, where we worship our God together and encourage one another to remain faithful until our Savior returns. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul encourages the members of a church. We remember before our God and Father your work, produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you. You turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Work produced by faith, labor prompted by love, and endurance inspired by hope. These are the fruit of our relationship with Christ. Our obedience flows out of our assurance that we belong to God, having been loved and chosen by him. That assurance moved the Thessalonians from the futility of serving false gods to the joy of serving the true and living God. Their hearts were waiting for Jesus to descend from heaven. On that day, Jesus will judge the earth. However, Christians don't need to be afraid of that judgment because Jesus has already paid the penalty for our sins. While the parable of the servants comforts believers, it warns those who live as though Christ will never come back. Like the delay of the master of the household, Christ's delay exposes the hard heart of those who refuse to repent. In Romans chapter 2, Paul challenges this stubbornness. Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? To be indifferent to God's call to repentance is to show contempt for his kindness. Jesus uses strong language to communicate the eternal consequences of such indifference, being torn to pieces, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. He also underscores this danger in the parable of the bridesmaids, Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell the oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." The term virgin here refers to a young, unmarried woman, the kind of woman who would serve as a bridesmaid in that culture. Christ, the bridegroom, delays his arrival. Matthew 24, verse 36 provides some background to this delay. "About that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." God the Father holds back that moment, and 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us why. "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation." Again, Jesus will come suddenly, like a thief. Yet it can seem as though he is waiting a very long time. The Lord does not delay in order to frustrate us. He delays for the sake of those he's still drawing to himself. Our Lord's patience means salvation. The parable focuses on the contrast between how the wise and the foolish respond to that patience. The wise bridesmaids prepare for the arrival of the bridegroom. In case he arrives at night, they bring oil to keep their lamps burning. The foolish bridesmaids fail to prepare and ask to borrow oil, but it's too late. This oil can't be transferred to someone else. In the same way, each heart must turn to Jesus on its own. The foolish bridesmaids do not represent believers who are struggling or anxious or imperfect. They are people who aren't really interested in following Jesus at all. The Apostle Peter says this about Christ in Acts 4. "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Only Jesus can save us from the coming wrath. And he does so for those who entrust themselves to him." the door to salvation remains closed to those who brush him aside. Isaiah 55 invites those people to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. The Lord is not hiding from anyone. He is near, and he welcomes those who turn to him. Christians live with confidence that Jesus receives those who seek him. We will be safe in his arms when he returns. Although we do not know when Jesus will come back, we can be certain that he will. And scripture points our eyes toward the future God himself has prepared for us. For example, Hebrews chapter 11 tells us about men and women who remained faithful regardless of their circumstances because they were looking ahead to that future. Verse 16 says, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Those who belong to Christ will enter that glorious city on the day of his return. How should people be living in the meantime? That depends on where they stand with Christ. Jesus calls unbelievers to repent and turn to him. He calls believers to live with eager anticipation of his return. And so, as we wait, we stay watchful like the homeowner, faithful like the servant, and wise like the bridesmaids. Father God, thank you for the hope of that day on which Jesus will come back to make all things right. Empower us to rely on him and rest in the hope of our eternal future. And it is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.